Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Smith Inc. September webinar and podcast episode. If you are joining us live today, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. Just use the Ask a Question function on your GoToWebinar control panel and that will be answered at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. And I'll now hand over to David Smith, Smith Inc. Director, to present his session titled Paperless Yet? Why Not? Handing over to you, David.
Thanks, Andrea. Good afternoon, morning, everybody. Thank you for joining this webinar. I'm coming to you from my house in Port Stephens. Been pouring with rain this morning, so hopefully those of you in other parts of Australia needing rain are getting a little bit too. Since we all desperately need it, obviously. This is a topic which is pretty much been close to my heart for a long, long time, that I really quite believe that it's possible for firms to get themselves to a 100% or very close to 100% status in terms of being paperless. And it involves a sort of a range of mix of technologies to enable this to happen. And I plan during this webinar to sort of go through that. Those of you who sort of know what we've been doing over the last few years, we've been running a technology survey of accounting firms. And one of the questions that we asked in that survey was, are you 100% paperless? And the numbers that keep coming back over the last year or two was around about 10 to 15% of firms were reporting that they were 100% paperless. So there's clearly a number of firms that have managed themselves to get there. But before I start, I just wanted to relate a bit of a story of a firm that I've been working with a long time in Queensland. A few weeks ago, I was up there having a chat with them. And it was quite interesting that they embarked upon a plan to take themselves paperless. So I'd been working with this firm for 8, 9, 10 years. And through that period, I've been hassling them at different times about the need to really take oneself paperless and the benefits in terms of process improvement of doing so. And there was always a bit of resistance in going down that road for a whole variety of reasons. But they had a change in the firm where one of their team, a good team member, ended up going overseas and living overseas, and they didn't want to lose access to that team member. So they thought, well, if we really want to use this team member overseas, we need to be able to work in a paperless fashion so we can move the data around more effectively. And so because they had a need and a fairly urgent need, in the space of 3 or 4 months, they managed to re-engineer their processes to get themselves to that point where they're all but paperless. And I suppose that just highlights the point that if you really have a mind to make this happen, it is doable. It's a mindset change for a lot of individuals. It's process change for people, and there's a bit of tech involved as well. But you can get there with effort, drive, and commitment. And the benefits of doing so in terms of efficiency are quite substantial. And so if there is anything that you take out of this webinar, it's the fact that this is possible with enough drive and enough enthusiasm. So the first thing I just wanted to kick off with is, well, going paperless, it's about an end-to-end solution. There's a whole range of technologies that need to be put in place in order to be able to get yourself to a paperless situation. You need to be able to look at your, as I say, your end-to-end process. Your processes essentially start by getting information from the client, processing it all internally, and then getting the information back to the client. So what you want to be able to do is to do that entire cycle in a paperless way. And what this slide indicates is that there is a mix of technology and process change that one needs to putting in place to enable this to happen. And so I plan to sort of just roll through this to give you a bit of a feeling for what are these different things that you need to consider and what are the different sort of technology options that are out there. Clearly, the first thing that you need to have is a document management system, a way of accessing documents and dealing with documents effectively in a paperless fashion. And so the first thing we need to think about, well, what is the elements of a document management system? Now, some of you may still be storing files in a traditional Windows folder system and using that as a document storage area. And that's fine. You can store documents in a system that way, but in doing so, you don't actually get the benefits of what a document management system can deliver. And so, firstly, things like a status of a document, that a document might be being prepared or it's awaiting for review, it's been approved, and once it's been approved, it's now locked so it can't be edited again. They're just simple bits of functionality that you really want to have in order to you want to be in a situation that you can 100% trust the information in your system. And if you can't lock a document that's been approved, how can you be assured that that document was the document that was ultimately approved? So you need to have this extra level of functionality. You want to be able to do things like autofill emails and attachments so that some of these systems these days can get can read the email coming in, working out which client the email relates to and automatically filing it for you. You want to be able to link documents to tasks. You know, one of the great benefits of doing that is that document might come in an email and you might want to then delegate a task relating to that to a team member. And so what some of these systems can do is allow you to create that task, attach it to that document, being an email or a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet, whatever, and then delegate the task to a team member. And the team member can then see the view of their tasks. And by clicking on that task, the document to which that task relates is loaded automatically. This linkage of task to documents, I think, is a key element. And all of that enables greater delegation of work so that you can, as I say, put a task on a document, delegate it to somebody else, and then you can look at views of your document list to see what's delegated, what you have delegated, and the status of those documents. Clearly, you want to be able to sort and filter these documents, so you want to be able to look at the view of your virtual compactus, if I can call it that, in a different way. So I might want to see what documents are waiting for my approval, what documents have I delegated to somebody else and haven't come back to me. All of that sorting and filtering is critical. And then you also want to have full text searching over the entire database so that rather than having to, you know, navigate around to try and find a document, by being able to essentially Google your compactus, you can find the documents that you're looking for. Some systems as well also create auto reference reference numbers on documents so that when a document might come back from a client, those reference numbers can be used to automatically and simply find them in the database. And then lastly, you want this document management system to integrate with your practice management and with your email and other applications. And many of you would be aware that there's things like Zapier and Zeppo and other integration tools that enable this seamless integration into the document management system and into these other applications. So hopefully out of that, you can get the impression that document management is far bigger than a simple storage of documents. Now on this next slide here, I've listed a variety of the document management systems sort of sitting out there. Some of which are cloud, some of which are both cloud and desktop, some of which are just desktop. And it's not for me to say which is the best of these. I think they all, depending on the size of your firm and the other applications that you're running in the firm, will help you determine what are the most appropriate applications for your business. But there's just a shopping list of some of these applications that are out in the marketplace that are worthy of a review. So then the second piece to this, which is sort of linked to document management, is the issue of work papers. So when you look at what happens in your firm day to day, you've got a lot of team members that spend a lot of time just doing the work papers for a particular client. And so having a work paper system that does that in a more automated slash paperless way has to be an efficient way of working. And so things like integration back to your document management system, because you really only want one store of all of this stuff. You don't want to have multiple document stores. Integration to accounts production systems, so that you know, when you're doing the financial statements, the work papers are automatically linked into that, into your accounts production system. And equally linked into your client's accounting system. So, you know, the concept of the common ledger, where many of the work papers might be automatically generated off the small business accounting file, is really a concept that nearly all of the key suppliers are trying to incorporate or have incorporated elements of in their products. So those integration pieces are a critical component when one is going down the work paper road. Query management, clearly when you're doing a work paper file, to be able to manage the queries effectively sitting on work papers so that you can see the status of those queries and how that they've been cleared. Ability to track the approvals of particular work papers, and the whole file is again pretty critical. Adjusting journals, some systems manage the adjusting journals very effectively, so you can see a view of all the adjusting journals and what makes them up, and again with an approval system. You want to have templates for these work papers so you're not reinventing the wheel, and there's a number of template providers sitting around for that. And then you want the whole system to be designed for on-screen completion. Most of the systems these days are designed in that fashion. But looking at some of these specific work paper systems is pretty important. Clearly, the suppliers of practice management suites, MIB Xero and APS in particular, all have work paper type modules. But also you'll find that HowNow and Change GPS have work paper templates, as do Caseware and My Work Papers have those templates as well. So there's a number of products out there designed for the streamlining and paperless operation of work paper templates, and again they should be subject to review. Whilst I've got this on screen, I'm mindful that there may be some suppliers out there listening to this webinar. If for one reason or another I haven't put you on these screens, I humbly apologise. I tried to do all my research to make certain I've got it pretty much right, but there's always companies which occasionally I might tend to overlook, so I apologise for that if that is the case. Then we go to the next item, which many of you, if you've heard me talk in the past, you'll be sick to death of me talking about multi-screen. It is the most important enabler of going paperless. You know, the more the merrier. There's an example of a stacked arrangement of four screens I actually run for myself. Basically, what you want to be able to do is have in front of you all of the work that you, all of the things that you need to get your work done. All tabbing between screens and the like is highly inefficient, and just doesn't achieve the end game that you're trying to achieve. So, for instance, if you're a reviewer, I always think that a reviewer needs a minimum of three. So you want to have maybe the set of accounts on one screen, the work papers on another screen, maybe the tax return or another screen, or the queries. And having all of those things available to you while you're doing the review makes this a much more effective way to be able to operate. So looking at multi-screen, I think, is just a key element. Clearly, the cost of screens these days is relatively small. Obviously, for many firms, the biggest limitation is actually getting enough desk real estate to put the screens, but then maybe you've got to use stackers and the like. Do not underestimate the power of multi-screens to enable paperless working. Scanning, obviously, you want to be able to capture documents that might come in paper right at source at your front desk before they actually get any further inside the firm. So an efficient way of capturing any paper that comes into the office, scanning it, and then distributing it through your systems, getting into the document management system, like, is a critical component of it. I'm always a believer that you try and convert your clients. So try and get clients to be scanning it for you rather than sending it in paper, so that you can avoid the need to actually do the scanning yourself. Has to be a big advantage. And obviously using things like client portals and the like to capture all of that electronically is the key element. Then we get to process change. And many of you have heard me go on and on about process change over the years. But one of the key aspects is for you to really be going back and rethinking all of your processes from a paperless perspective, and doing the exercise of taking every process in the firm, breaking it back down, starting again with a brand new process, and designing that brand new process from scratch from a paperless perspective. It is only in doing that that you'll actually truly achieve being paperless, because if you try and shoehorn paperless into your current processes, you'll find that it won't really work. This is a bit of a rethink that you need to do in how you actually attack your processes. So you need to get somebody in the firm who is going to take control of that and drive that process change in the organisation. And very critically, you need all of the leaders of the firm completely on this bus and willing to change the way they personally work. Because if they're not willing to change their way they personally work, this will not work either. Everyone needs to get on this bus to have this different approach of being 100% paperless. Even down to things like how we answer the phone, having people using a phone headset is a big advantage in terms of being able to use the keyboard or a stylus whilst you're talking with people on the phone. Trying to balance a phone on the side of your head to enable you to be able to type, etc., doesn't really work. So I'm a big advocate of using headsets in particular. Without getting into the whole debate about how your firm answers the telephone, I'm also a big believer in direct dial to extensions, using voicemail systems. You can then capture, in most systems these days, capture those voicemails and actually store those voicemails electronically as well to create other records that you can refer back to. So thinking about how you deal with voice communication, I think, is another component here in enabling your team to be able to take effective notes when they're on the telephone. Equally, taking effective notes when you're actually in meetings, I think, is also an important element. There are a number of devices out there which you can do this on. And I've just listed what I think are the main ones in use. Many of you, if you've heard me talk, will know that I've been a long-term user and supporter and advocate of Samsung's note-taking tablets with the Samsung S Pen. I've always found it to be a very natural thing to use, and to be frank with you, it just works. Many of these note-taking devices, at least historically, have always had a bit of a lag. You write on it and there'll be a lag before the device reacts. Samsung's never had that issue. Mind you, most devices don't too much anymore because of the processing speed that's picked up. And then Apple with the iPad Pro and a pencil, you can now do that. Same with a Surface, same with most laptops which are of a touchscreen orientation. So there's a whole variety of machines that you can do this on. I am still quite surprised, however, the vast majority of meetings in which I attend, I'm more often than not the only person taking notes on a tablet, which has the benefit, of course, you take the notes and some of them will convert the notes to text. I don't bother doing that, but all of my notes are then taken and stored in my client file. So I've got all of that easily stored in my system. The only other device to just quickly talk about is the one in the middle there, the Remarkable device. One of my clients uses those, and that's interesting. It's sort of like a Kindle for note-taking. It's more of a paper feel about it, and from a note-taking perspective, that's all the device is fundamentally about, and it does a pretty good job at doing that. So if you're looking for a note-taking device which has the feel of paper about it, have a look at that Remarkable device. But at least start to get yourself around being able to take notes. I much prefer this approach than the idea of firing up a laptop in a meeting and typing on a laptop. I think that's far too distractive and takes away from the personal interaction of the meeting, whereas these note-taking devices sits flat on the desk, doesn't create a barrier, and is more natural in the way that people work together. Robotic process automation and workflows. What I'm referring to there is that many of these systems now are getting smart. To give you the example of one, FYI Docs, which was on one of my earlier screens, they've got their system now will read emails coming into the firm, determine the mood of the email, and if they perceive that the person is unhappy, it will automatically escalate it. Now, over time, what we're going to see is more and more picking up of these sort of automated workflows, particularly as these systems integrate into the ATO portals and the like, to be able to pick up transactions off the portal and to be able to automate the complete workflow off the back of that. If there is going to be development in paperless working over the next few years, it's going to be in this robotic process automation area, where more and more things, the system gets smarter in being able to automate the particular task by reading the document and determining what is required. Clearly, one also needs to have client portals to and or mobile apps to move data in and out with clients. There's a number of products in the space to do this. And again, I've just listed a few that have portal type technology. All of them work in sort of similar ways. The one which I think is different and is just worth referring to specifically is FYI Docs. And the reason why that's similar, that's different, is that they actually don't use a portal. What FYI Docs does is allow the client to select what sort of system they use. For instance, they might use OneDrive, they might use Google Drive, they might use Dropbox, they might use Box.net. And the FYI Docs system will integrate in with that application that the client uses. Because one of the problems of the client portal road is that many of these applications have their own portals. So, there's a number of specific applications with portals like Class and BGL, which I haven't mentioned, which again also sit there. the last thing you want for your client is for them to have to access multiple portals, because that then becomes multiple usernames and passwords they have to remember. These portals work differently. It becomes a pain in the backside. So working out a strategy that you don't have to deal with multiple portals is a good way of going. Equally, looking at mobile device apps like those provided by iPractice Apps or My Firm's app, they're also worth considering. I've had seen one or two of my clients who are very effectively using a mobile phone app to move information and documents with clients very effectively, if not more effectively than using a client portal. So that's also worth considering. Everyone needs to have a strategy around this. Your clients will need to be educated about it, and you need to do some marketing with your clients, help clients understand the benefits. It requires an ongoing, relatively slow process to get the clients on the bus here. But firms that are willing to embark upon it and spend the time on it achieve the end result of having the vast majority of their documents being delivered this way. It linked to that, of course, is the whole thing of electronic signatures. Most of those portal applications that I've just had this on the screen there have electronic signature options on it, which allows the clients to sign things electronically and send it back to you as well. That's become sort of like a must-have type application now. And as I say, a lot of firms are using that type of technology, and nearly all of the portal applications have some form of electronic signatures now being built into them. And then the last piece of this is back to the integration piece, that you've got a multitude of technologies here and information being stored. The most critical component of being paperless is to ensure that you can find what you're looking for easily and simply. And then the other piece that you need to be continually thinking about is, if you are getting paper into the place and you haven't dealt with it yet, what is the smartest way to capture that information? So it could be that you need to do scanning. It could be it's a photograph off your telephone. All of those are effective ways of capturing information as well. The last thing that I haven't mentioned on this slide, and it was remiss of me not to do so, is that the other key element relating to being paperless is PDF. Clearly, it's a standard format to be able to move things around, and so you want to be able to, you know, use that as your ideal transport. You want to therefore have good PDF annotation tools that allow you to essentially write on the PDF or put notes on the PDF. There's a whole raft of tools out there that allow you to do that, both on a mobile device sense as well as on a PC. Obviously, Adobe Acrobat is one example, but there are a whole variety of products that also allow that. In terms of my Samsung mobile device, I use a product called Squid, S-Q-U-I-D, that allows me to write all over the top of PDFs. Have a look at the whole raft of the products that are available for mobile devices or for PCs to be able to allow you to annotate your PDFs is another element here. So in that very quick run through, I've tried to just give you a quick overview of all of the bits and bobs that come into play in order to be truly 100% paperless. I've been 100% paperless now myself for probably 5 years, to the extent now that I have a printer in my office in Sydney and a printer in my office here in Port Stephens. Neither of those printers work, and they haven't worked for about 9 months, and I've managed to be able to survive without having a printer at all. even when people want documents signed by me, and that document isn't doesn't have electronic signatures on it, I can still sign it using the stylus on my tablet and send it back to them. So I haven't actually found a reason why I need to have a printer now at all, which is somewhat surprising, really, because I always thought that I'd need a printer for something, but I don't. So I hope that's been a help to you. I hope I've given you sort of some examples of where you can look for some of the tech, but you need to think this in this holistic way about everything that you need to do to go paperless, and don't underestimate the need to rethink and re-engineer your processes going forward. Hope that's a help. Happy to take some questions.
Great, thanks, David. Let me just see, one came up at the moment. So just a reminder, anybody, if you do have a question, you can just type it into the ask a question function. And I've got one to start with. John has asked, you need a scanner?
Yes. The only reason why I hesitate is a telephone is also a scanner with its camera. So, but obviously, if you've got a lot of documents, you'd need a scanner that can scan a whole lot of documents quickly. So, like everything in this world, you need to think about, what am I trying to achieve? If I've got a lot of inbound documents, you need to have, you know, a scanner that can do multiple pages a minute. But if you've just got the occasional document, perhaps a picture off my camera, off my telephone, is all I'll need. In my own case, I still use a scanner because I still get through the postal system or otherwise the odd bit of paper, and I find it easier to scan it.
Great, thanks, David. James has asked, do you suggest any desktop search tools you suggest?
The answer to that is that the search tools really come as part of the document management system. And so I think a critical component when you're reviewing document management systems is what is the search that's incorporated with it. You essentially need to have a search which is full text, which also searches into attachments, so that you're able to put in whatever words and combinations of words you like, the same as you would with a Google search engine, and it will search through your entire document management system using those keywords, and as I say, also drilling into the attachments and searching for words in the attachments. And so it's not really about looking, in my opinion, not really about looking for a particular search product that I put on my system. It's about the search products that are incorporated into your document management system.
Great, thank you. Bradley has asked, what security is there around using your signature on the Samsung?
Short answer, well, I'm still physically signing it. So I suppose I have to be alive. It's the same security that you would have signing a piece of paper. So I just pick up the stylus and sign it as I would normally sign any other document. And then I save that as a PDF and I send that back to the person who wants me to sign a document for them. So I may not have answered the question you wanted me to, but that's essentially the security, is that I'm still signing it as I would have signed a piece of paper.
Sounds good. Thanks, David. Chris has asked, what do you recommend for clients that still want to come into your office and sign in person?
There's two answers to that. One is present it to them. In the end, the customer is always right. So if you've got a customer who says, look, I really want the paper, well, then print the paper or say to them, yes, I can do that for you, but there'll be an extra cost associated with it because it's more expensive to produce the paper. I think if you have that conversation with the client, a lot of them will say to you, well, how do I do the paperless thing? And then secondly, if they want to sign, come into the office and sign, there's no reason why you can't present the documents on a mobile device and they can sign it on the device. So that way you've completely captured electronically that way. That's the way I think I would do it these days.
Great, thank you. Katie has asked, what do you think of curved screens?
I've seen them. Maybe I'm showing my own age. I tend to prefer having multiple individual screens because then I can move them around as best suits my needs, remembering that some of the screens that I use are set in portrait mode, not in landscape mode. So the typical computer screens in landscape mode, I always have at least one, if not two, in portrait mode because that turns them into document readers. So one of the downsides of the sort of big long curved screen is that you probably don't get, whilst you can set some of the virtual screens on that curved screen into portrait mode, I don't think you'd get the same level of portrait real estate that you would get by setting a traditional screen in portrait mode. So I'm still maybe a bit old school of thinking that I'm better off having individual screens that I can move around my desk to best suit me and set some of them up portrait or landscape.
Great. Got a few more coming in, David. Bradley, this is back to the Samsung signature question. Can someone uplift your signature of the document on the document?
If they nick my device, it's like any signature. Once you've got a signature on a piece of paper or a mobile device that's then turned to a PDF, anyone can then cut and paste that signature out of the document. And so the ultimate security around that is really back to your document management system where you store these things to ensure the document management system has the effective security in it to prevent access to those documents if that's what you're trying to achieve. I do want to make this statement though. Remember that a signature on a piece of paper isn't very secure either. Because anyone can scan that signature and then take a copy of it and start using it anyway. So I don't see having a signature on a tablet any different to signing a piece of paper from a security perspective.
Makes sense. I've got a couple more here. Gregory has asked, are you aware or how do you deal with businesses that will not accept electronic signatures and demand a WET signature?
Yeah, it's a bit like, as I said before, with those clients, you say, well, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I'll print it for you, but there's an extra cost. So that's how I would say that. The other point is if somebody sends me a document to sign and I take that document and put it on my tablet and sign it using the stylus and then storing it back down and then converting it to a PDF and sending it back, it's impossible to detect the difference between that signature and if I'd signed the piece of paper and a pen and then scanned it. So the only situation that then comes into play is when somebody wants back the original document and they want that as a wet signature. In that circumstance, and I've got to say that's happened to me once in the last 3 or 4 years, you've got no choice but to go and find a pen, which more often than not I don't have on me, and sign it with the pen and then send that document back. But that's becoming increasingly rare.
Great. Malcolm has asked, what security should there be around client portals?
I would think that you'd be wanting these days two-factor authentication. So if because of this concern over the sensitive data that accountants hold on their clients, I would want the client to have set up, or the portal software to require that the client sets up two-factor authentication.
Great. Now, Katie's asked, do you suggest that with business clients, we should put in the engagement letter that we are going paperless so that we advise them what we are trying to achieve?
Yes, I would always say that our default way of working with our clients is paperless. And you make that the default. You never give the clients choice in that sense. You wait for the clients to come back to you and say, no, I need the paper. Because if you give the clients choice, your clients more often than not will want to stick to the status quo, which is the paper. So I fully support the idea of saying to clients, our default way of working in the future is in a paperless way, using client portals or apps or whatever. I'm more than happy to help you come to grips with how that can be done. We'll provide you with whatever training and support you need to do that. And whilst there will still always be a small group who will want the paper, I think as the baby boomers and others die out, I think the world is changing quite dramatically and it's becoming less of an issue. And there's also a whole cohort of clients who, if you gave the paper to them, would get most annoyed with you. I'm in that category. I hate receiving paper from anyone because then I've got to have to scan it.
Good point. John has made a comment here. When our paper printer didn't work, we had clients sit physically in front of us in the office. I sent the documents to the secure portal. They electronically signed the PDF documents using their smartphones. Amazing.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, good example.
Yep.
Yeah, fully support that idea.
One from Gregory. How about sending documents to banks and others where their systems won't allow them to follow links to documents, files, etc., and want you to email? They have no other options. What about the security issue around emails?
Well, I would set them up I would set up a client portal for them and just say, log into our client portal. That's how I would do it with a third party provider like a bank. And I think that solves the problem because they're now accessing through your secure client portal. And they should be able to do that. What the banks don't like is products like Dropbox and the like. But your secure client portal, I would have thought, should be okay.
Okay, great. Another one from Gregory, and I think you may have touched on this. Should we be putting on security such as two-factor authentication, can't say that, on our client portals for our clients to log in?
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, I did cover that before. I think that given the sensitivity of data that accountants have, you need to have that level of security.
Great. And one last one from Stephen, which I can actually answer for you, David. Will the presentation notes be available to all attendees? And yes, they will. I'll be sending those out this afternoon along with the recording so you can refer back. And of course, you can always come to myself or David if you have any other questions.
Yeah, don't hesitate to ask. Send me an email, david.smith@smithinc.com, if you want to talk any further about anything that I've been talking about.
Great. Thank you. Oh, I think I have one more, David. Did you want to, or should we? Yeah. Maybe I can get you to, I'll do one more. It's a comment actually from John. We give access to SMSF order to finance people clients documents in the secure portal. So I think it's just adding on to that.
Yeah, fully agree. Yeah, good use of the portal.
Sounds great. Thanks everybody for attending. Thanks, David, for presenting all the great questions today. I'll be sending the recording out. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. Thank you all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you.